So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's Dan Lotto speaking. Hope you're well today. So let's talk about COVID. Let's talk about renting out properties, managing properties. And if you're a tenant and you're looking for a property, these are some of the things that you need to think about when you're renting. So let's put this into context. So as a landlord, a successful landlord for the last 22 years, we've had ups and downs along the way like everybody else, but generally successful. And we've managed hundreds, if not thousands, of tenants. As an owner of a lettings agency for 8 or 9 years, which we've then sold, we've got a lot of experience on property and renting and managing and all of that good stuff. And if you are worried about tenants, and as you should be worried if you're a landlord, about tenants not paying or about future tenants, tenants that are viewing properties right now, and you're worried they're not going to pay, then what we're going to talk about today will probably help you. And if you are a tenant, then some of the information that you will need when moving into a place will also help. So I don't know how long we're going to go for. If you've got any questions, stick them in the box down below. But let's just talk about this and you'll get an open and honest viewpoint from a landlord's perspective with a lot of experience. So first of all, right now, we are absolutely tightening up on everything that we do with tenants, from when tenants pay to make sure that that rent actually comes in and the procedures that we then have in place. I mean, let's talk about that for a second. So if somebody doesn't pay, we want to get in touch with them as soon as possible. And we're very nice and we're very friendly. It's not a, you haven't paid, why haven't you paid, blah, blah, blah. We know that people are having hard times and people are often embarrassed if they can't pay their rent. And so they'll hide it, they'll ignore you, they'll try and stick their head in the sand. And as we know, whenever you do that, things just get worse and worse and worse. And we're like, dude, look, if you've got a problem, let me know. Let's see what we can do to help you with that problem. And then at least if we have an idea as to what's going on, we can make a decision as to what we're going to do as landlords as well. Are we going to evict, which we can't, or are we going to come up with a different solution? So, for example, we had one tenant. This poor girl had lost her job twice, been redundant twice within a space of about 2 months, and was really struggling. And she was late by a few days with her rent. So we sent a text and said, I'll be honest with you, I've just lost my job. She's married anyway, couple of kids though, and they were struggling to pay full rent. I'm like, okay, well, what's the situation? How about you pay, it was like £800. How about you pay £500 this month and the £300, let's maybe set up a payment plan so you pay that off over the next 6 months while you're out looking for a job. And so that's exactly what we did. And so she paid £500 for 2 months running, which meant there's £600 left. And actually, we spread that payment over the next 10 months. So it's £60 a month. We're lucky we're in a position we can do that. And it didn't affect the portfolio too much at all, thankfully. If you've got comments, questions, stick them in the box below. So we're really tightening up. But the first bit is absolutely to get communication with your tenants if they have stopped paying. And just look, what can I do to help? One of the questions I asked this lady was, what's your skill set? What role did you have? Is there anything that I could do to help? And I think we even put something out on Facebook, such and such needs this type of job. Who's got something? She's got this experience. Drop me a DM and we'll let you know. But she found a job anyway without me. But our job is to help people, not to just evict willy-nilly, because that doesn't help anybody. Doesn't help them. Doesn't help us. We have to then chase up this rent. Then we can't even evict them anyway. Then we've upset them. Now they're never going to deal with us or communicate with us or negotiate with us. But that's what you need to do. If right now you've got tenants that are not paying, you can't just come out and kind of, you know, hit them with a right eviction. It's just not going to work. And also, you know, 2020 should be a time of love, helping people. Not necessarily forgiveness, but look, what can I do to help you solve a problem so I can get paid? You tell me what help you need from me. Is there something you need me to do? Anything I can help with? What's your CV like? Send it over. Let me have a look. Let me help you try and improve it. Do you need to jump on a call for 20 minutes so we can have a chat and motivate you to whatever, right? That's what we should be doing with people who are struggling to pay their rent right now. But also, I would suggest that this is and should be the plan that you do anyway. in the olden days, before the tenant fee ban came in, when a tenant didn't pay, we could drop them a text, and if they didn't respond, we'd send them a £25 letter. And then after 7 days, if they still didn't respond, we'd send them another and another and another. And after 4 weeks and a couple of days, we'd send a Section 8, £195. And then the day after that, we'd M-call them, which is we'd take them to small claims court. Now, the government, in all its wonderful intelligence, removed all of that. So now all we can do is we can send them a letter that they can scrunch up. It doesn't cost them anything. We can throw it in a bin. And so it causes us real difficulties, even getting communication back sometimes. So you've got to find a way to work with tenants that are not paying now. You can't just use a sledgehammer, which is maybe what we kind of used before. But now tenant fee ban is in. You can't do that. And by the way, the reason why we used that method was that a couple of times in my past, I've missed my bank payments for whatever, and I've gone overdrawn. And the bank send you a £25 letter. If you've ever had a £25 letter from your bank, your credit card company, or a mortgage company because a direct debit didn't go through or whatever, you'll know how infuriating that is. That's a nice meal out, you know what I mean? For two, if you live in Spain. So, and also for me, by the way, that's a night out because I'm a bit of a lightweight when it comes to beer. But it used to infuriate me, and I would always then make sure that I always paid stuff on time. And that's what I felt that would happen with tenants. And actually, that is the result. And it actually worked in their favor, even though it was costing them money, because it wound them up so much, it actually helped them avoid going to small claims court for the rent for all of it. Okay, let me see if there's any questions. No questions. Okay, that's fine. So next one. We're really tightened up on who we choose as tenants. So, like, I know that in today's climate, if you say no DSS, you are labelled as a demon. We actually do accept DSS, but they have to follow the rules just as everybody else. And what I mean by that is, if we have someone on local housing authority, housing benefit effectively, come to us, yeah, you can rent it, not a problem. We need first month's rent and your first month's deposit up front. Now, invariably, they don't have that. And by the way, in COVID situation, actually having LHA clients, which we had a couple, probably worked in our favor to some extent, because guess who always paid their rent on time? LHA. They're not out of work because they're already out of work. They've not lost their job. They've not gone on furlough because they'd already lost their job or were already out of work. They weren't on furlough. They didn't have a job to lose. So housing benefit just came in anyway. One of the things that did confuse me, however, was when the government increased people their income when they didn't have a job to begin with. And it's like, but they've not even been affected. They've not lost their job. How does that work? Why are we getting more money for doing exactly the same thing? I didn't understand that. But we treat everybody the same. And by that, I mean, yep, first month's rent, first month's deposit, not a problem at all. Now, the second thing that we actually do is we pretty much take on guarantors almost all the time now during 2020. And this has been a big change for us. Before, we didn't care about guarantors. Hell, we didn't even take deposits, which we're going to come on to soon. But we didn't really take guarantors. But now there's a problem. And the problem is that we cannot evict a tenant who moves in tomorrow, pays his first month's rent, and then doesn't pay next month. We can't remove them for 6 months, right? We're not getting any help from the government. We're not getting any help from society. In fact, society thinks we're all cockroaches and hates us. That's fine. They're the rules. We'll play by those rules. I don't mind being called a cockroach. That's totally fine. Just remember when you come back, we're the cockroaches, and when you screw us, we'll screw you back. That's all right. They're the rules. I just play the game. Don't blame the player. Blame the game, right? So we've got to watch who we rent to make sure absolutely that for at least the next 6 months, if they are going to pay the rent, they can afford to pay the rent. But it's almost guaranteed to some extent. And one of the extra ways in which we do that is by taking on a guarantor. Now, this is what happens. You get someone who's 26 and they lose their job and then they can't pay. And then what do we do? Well, we would, and we haven't had to do this, but we would then go to the guarantor and go, little Johnny, he's lost his job, really bad, feel bad about it. But he's on furlough, so he's got 80%. Don't know why he can't pay any of his rent. At least pay 80% of his rent, and then we can offset the rest. But no, little Johnny has decided not to pay his rent because he's on 80% furlough. So, Mr. Johnny's dad, you need to pay it because you're the guarantor. And then this is what happens. Johnny's dad explodes. How dare you? We had this just last week with a copper, a police officer, And I sent him a message because the tenant that had moved out hadn't paid the last month's rent. And he's exploding. He's going to take me to court. He's going to sort me out. All this stuff, all on email, by the way. One of the reasons why me and the police don't get on too well. So, but his head exploded because his friend or his niece, I think it was, hadn't paid her rent, but he's now liable. And so this is the extra power that we have as landlords, is that when we go to a guarantor, they usually get very upset about the fact that whoever it is hasn't paid their rent. They usually blame us as well. And then we have to say things like, look, Johnny's dad, it's fine. It's not a problem. We just need this rent paying on an ongoing basis. We're happy to sort something out. We're happy to work with you and little Johnny just to make sure that we can do this. Johnny's more than happy to stay. I'm more than happy for Johnny to stay, but obviously we need paying this rent. And so by having a guarantor just gives us two people to get that income from. Now, one of the unusual things as well with tenants is that when you have a girl, might not be a girl and a guy, might be two guys, might be two girls, who knows? Like, so when you have a couple move in and they've moved into a property, we tend not to like couples who have just moved into their first house and it's their love nest, their very first one, because invariably they're going to split up after 3 months when we find out that he leaves a toilet seat up and she's got smelly feet. So, or vice versa. So we get guarantors both for one side of a couple and for the other side of a couple. So now we've got two guarantors and we've got two tenants. One tenant loses a job, the other tenant can pay. Both lose a job, we go to the guarantors. That makes life just a little bit easier. No questions. Okay, so we didn't used to take guarantors in the past. And one of the reasons for that is because, honestly, frankly, the deposit, the tenant deposit scheme is an absolute pain in the backside, okay? We have to register the bond, we have to do all the paperwork, we have to get the right to rent booklet, whatever that thing is called, we have to send them, we have to get it signed. Honestly, it's too much of a pain. So we actually stopped taking rent. So for example, on a studio at 550, we might say, look, we can take a deposit if you want, or if you want, you can just pay 595 and you can not have a deposit at all. But that 595 is rent. That's not a deposit, it's rent. So you don't get anything back. And invariably, people go to 595 and we got a higher rent. And, you know, if people left damages in the house, depending what it was, we just paint it, fix it. We've got a handyman that's very, very good at doing what he does. And so we wouldn't chase them through courts unless doors are hanging off and dog poo up the walls. And, you know, unless there's something nasty that's gone on in that place. But generally, we just go in, repair it and fix it and paint it and bang a new tenant in there. It's perfect, right? So we didn't used to take deposit. And then just recently, in the last couple of months, obviously with COVID, we started taking deposits again, but we do it in a very special way and we use open rent. And so open rent will reference the tenant. There's no insurance anymore due to COVID. So there's no tenant insurance, rent guarantee insurance available anymore. But they would reference the tenant. They would take the deposit and first month's rent. And then they would actually secure the deposit, they would do all the documentation, they get the tenant to sign it electronically. So we just give it over to open rent, they do it all, but then we then manage the property and we manage the tenants inside that property. So what else do we do? And then referencing, this is actually the last bit I want to talk about. From a referencing point of view, we actually didn't use to reference for a long, long time, okay? And yeah, we had a slightly higher incidence of people not paying, maybe a couple of damages and so on. But I wouldn't say it was anything to go to town about. And so one of the reasons why we've changed that recently is that due to COVID and also due to the fact that we could see what was happening, there were more people who actually had CCJs. And when we started to reference more people and we would say, have you got CCJs? And we'd go, no CCJs. And then we'd reference them. And guess what? They had CCJs. And I go, oh, you got this one. I go, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. What was that one for? Oh, I didn't pay any rent. Oh, really? So actually, we do reference now. We got a lot tighter on that. We reference the tenant, and now we reference the guarantor. It costs us like £40. And of course, the tenant fee ban means we can't charge that on. But honestly, I would rather charge a couple, pay a £100, £200 out of my own pocket to make sure we get the right tenant. And so that works very well. So what are you doing right now during your COVID times? How are you managing your properties? Now, think about this. we live here in Spain and we manage a large portfolio in Leeds with just one cleaner and two handymen, and we do it very, very well. When tenants are doing viewings, so usually, normally, a tenant would do the viewing ready for the next tenant. So they have notice in and we go, will you give me a reference? And I go, yes, of course we will. Will you do viewings for us? And we go, yes, of course we will. And everybody lives happily ever after. The new tenants come in, they see it, they like it. We take them through referencing, they pass. And then we reach the point where the old tenant moves out and the new tenant moves in. So on that day, basically, and we don't want a tenant moving 2 weeks after the other one's moved out. Why would I want that? Why would I want a property to be empty for 2 weeks or 4 weeks? We had a lettings agent who found a property for me in Doncaster, and it was like 3 weeks away before the tenant was moving in. What were you doing? It took you 2 weeks to find a bloody tenant. Now we're 3 weeks before moving in, 5 weeks. We don't do that in my business. It's just not done. And one of the things that really annoyed me was that she said, because I said to her, I said, you know, I've been doing this 22 years. We've got our own letting agent. And she said to me, yes, you keep telling me. Well, look, motherfucker, this is why we're successful and it's taking you 5 weeks to find us a goddamn tenant. Needless to say, we don't use that company anymore. We just manage everything ourselves. But literally, one tenant would move out, another tenant would turn up. They hand the keys one to another and our cleaner would go in and just clean in between the one moving out and the one coming in. And that worked really, really well. And people are like, how do you do that? And another little story was we were looking at buying a lettings agency. We already had our letting agency. And it was during a time I had this beautiful 911 Porsche convertible, 42 grand, bright yellow thing. And I turn up in a Hawaiian shirt and shorts, right? And bear in mind, I'm like 29, 30, driving this Porsche, turning up, park it outside, jump out of the car, all cocky, you know, 29. And the guy looks at me and he couldn't work out. It's like, well, what are you going to do with the office? I'm like, no, well, we don't want the office. You don't want the office? No, no, no. Why don't you want the office? How do you get tenants to sign? Well, we sign at the apartment when we're moving in. Why is that so hard to understand? You have to physically give them keys. So why don't we just meet them at the property? Here's your keys. This is how it all works. Bish, bosh, bish. Sign this. Gives you money. Gives you cash. Bang, we're done. That's how we do it. Why should it be any more difficult than that? The tenant's moving out, great, do viewings. The new tenant likes it, great, hand keys over and we'll clean it in the middle. Brilliant. We send the contract. We actually don't use digital signatures, and honestly, we really, really should, but I'm just too old school for that right now. I don't know why. Something that needs to happen in the next 12 months for sure. Digital signatures are the thing these days. Anyway, we send them the tenancy agreement, they print it out, they sign it, they scan it, they send it back. I print it out, I sign it, I scan it, I send it to them. We both have copies that are signed. Everybody's happy. Or when the cleaner's doing their job, when the tenant's moving in to get them the keys, if the cleaner's got the keys, she will get them to sign it and go through it. Our cleaner does all sorts of things for us, from some admin tasks to viewings, move-ins, move-outs, and so on. And she's very disarming. She's just someone's little old grandma, and she's really, really nice, lovely, in fact. And she just helps us manage that. And one of the reasons why the portfolio works so well is because of her. And so we look after her Christmas presents, extra bonuses and that kind of thing, just to make sure that she's looked after the best that we can. So that, in a nutshell, is how we manage during COVID. Let's just talk about, let me grab a quick drink, and then what we're going to do is we're going to talk about managing repairs and problems and that kind of thing. We've already talked about non-payment right at the start. But let's talk about repairs. Do you like my bottle, by the way? It's as big as my head, isn't it? It's really awesome. From Primani. It's like £8. Anyway, okay, how do we manage repairs? I'll give you an example. So Sunday, got a text from one of our single moms. She's got three kids, and her oven had gone. Okay, so I'm like, that's fine. Let me get Simon, our appliance guy. Message Simon. Simon, such and such oven has gone. We did a repair on it a couple of months ago, actually, so it might need replacing. Can you go and have a look? He goes, yeah. Phones the tenant up, books it in for Monday. He goes in Monday, goes, Dan, it's knackered. You need a new oven, £239. All done. Remove the old one, put in the new one, test it, make sure everything's fine. Great. So give him instruction, go do it. That got installed yesterday, which was Tuesday. So tenant phones on a Sunday. He goes on a Monday, new oven in on a Tuesday, and he sends me an invoice and I pay him. That's as easy as it should be. Now, she just sent me a WhatsApp. That's it. Just send me a WhatsApp. He goes in, he diagnoses, he tells me what's what, not the tenant. And I make a decision. We pay for it. He puts a new one in. Easy peasy. Another one is, you know, like there's a problem with a door. The tenant's door's not locking in a HMO. The door's knackered. That's fine. Not a problem. What's up, my handyman? Let's call him Bob for now, shall we? Bob, there's a problem at such and such a house. Tenant's locked out. Can't get in. Can you do it? Yeah, I can do that. He goes down, fixes it. He messages me at night. Dan did that job. It was 22 quid for locks and a cylinder, and it was 18 quid. Sorry, 2 hours at £10 an hour. Another, you know, to get there and park up and do the job and go get the part and fit in. Great, all done. Not a problem. That's as easy as it should be. Tenant arises. I put the man on a job. The job gets diagnosed. They tell me what needs doing. I authorize it. They do the job. They get paid. Everybody's happy. Not 3 weeks, not 2 weeks, not 7 days. They get an instant response. It all comes via me. And then I just put the right person on the job, whoever that happens to be. And that's how easy it should be. But it's not, for whatever reason. The reason why most landlords struggle with this is that they are basically too tight. They want a new oven. Oh, no, I'm not getting them a new oven. I got a new oven 8 years ago in that property. I'm not getting repair it, and it ends up not being economical. Plus you end up pissing off the tenant, and then we move out, then you have longer voids. This particular tenant has been in that house for about 12 years, which I think is a testament as to how good we are with our tenants. And she's just sent me a message saying, Dan, that is amazing, thank you so much. And that's like, that's brilliant. During a time of COVID, we're coming up to Christmas, you've got 3 kids you've got to feed. We want to go out of our way. We want to help people. We want to help tenants. We've been spending an awful lot of money in the last couple of months making outside spaces more livable, painting them, de-weeding them, or weeding them. Isn't de-weeding putting weeds in, probably? But that's what we've been doing, ripping out the bushes, putting in new fencing, garden seating, all of that kind of thing. Because these are our valued clients. They pay us money for living in our properties, and we want to look after them the best that we can. Anyway, I hope that's useful for you. We're live again on Friday with a little bit of luck. Let me know if you've got any questions in the meantime, and we'll speak to you then. Take care, folks.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.